We'll call us to order. Got to do a roll call for we're here. Nell's present. Stacy.
Present.
Jim.
Present.
Cello.
Here.
Anker.
Hello.
Rebecca.
Here.
Leanne.
Here.
Dimitri.
Present.
Joanne.
Here.
Abe.
Here.
All right, everybody's here. So first up, we need a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
First is Estella. Second is Stacy. Roll call, Mel's a yes. Stacy?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Cello?
Yes.
Anker?
Yes.
Rebecca?
Yes.
Leanne?
Yes.
Dimitri?
Yes.
Joanne?
Yes.
Abe?
Yes.
All right, motion or the agenda is approved. Next up is public comment. I don't believe we have any public present here tonight. I'm not seeing any.
Not yet.
All right, so no comment at this point at least. I'm going to move us right on then into our first topic on the discussion agenda, the phase four learning update. So I know there were the listening sessions last night. Jeff, any comments you want to make initially or just want to see if people have questions?
Yeah, not much. I just wanted to share tomorrow is one of those e-learning planning days. We're going to use both of them, one tomorrow, one next Wednesday. And then we will be 100% ready from a classroom standpoint to have all the tables and chairs and everything put back to where we need to be. Our survey, our parent survey deadline in theory is I think 2 o'clock on the first. I think that's, what is that, Thursday? Mm-hmm. So then we should have a really good count of who's going to stay remote, who's coming back. If we were to close the portal today, we still have about 100 or so students that we don't know yet. So we're going to put out one more reminder tomorrow to make sure that people are aware that we need that back. But right now it's about an 80-20. 20% are going to stay remote and about 80% are coming back. I don't have the, before someone asks, I don't yet have the breakdown by grade. But we should have that by the end of the week, very early next week at best. And that'll help finalize for the following Wednesday of exactly what we need in each of the classrooms, you know. But other than that, I think the listening sessions went well. Right before you all joined, I was telling Nell we had about 57 or so in the kindergarten through fourth grade one, and about 37 or so in the fifth through eighth grade. If anybody asks you, they are in the news and events section of the parent portal. If somebody wants to review them or watch them, couldn't make it yesterday evening. But other than that, we're full speed ahead, ready to go.
Hey Jeff, I got a quick question. So if a parent wants their kid to come back, but not immediately, so like delayed a week or two, because maybe I know one family that's waiting for their second shot because they might be compromised. Are they able to like do remote learning for a week or two and then say, yes, now we would like our kid to come back to the classroom?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So we've had actually a couple of requests, different scenarios. One scenario is, hey, can I do a slow release of my child coming back? Maybe 2 days a week, then maybe three, then maybe four. And so what we're asking them when that situation happens, what we're asking them to do is just go ahead and fill out that you are going to be in person. And then it's a case by case type of thing.
Great.
If it's 2 weeks from now, great. If it's 3 weeks from now, let's talk, right? Because we're gonna, at some point we're at the end of the year, which is fine. But as long as we know it going in, then we can put the 16 or 18 or 24 composition in the classrooms so that we know what we're looking at, right?
Right.
So, and get a feel with how it's weighted, right?
Yeah.
But yeah. So that if anybody does ask you that, A, let them, please have them contact me. But it isn't just a scenario. People have actually been asking those questions.
Okay, great. Okay.
Hey, Jeff, do we have a maximum number of kids that we can have in one classroom?
We can go all the way up with the right. We can go all the way up to 24 in a classroom.
24.
Yeah, which is our maximum anyway.
Mm-hmm. And then I do have a clarifying question. So yeah. I was listening to both the sessions yesterday. and correct me if I misunderstood, but I believe that the nurse or someone made a comment that each desk will have a shield.
That's right. Yeah, okay. It'll have a three-sided shield,
mm-hmm.
plexiglass. In theory, they can travel with the child. We're not going to have to do that, we don't think. We don't want them leaving the classroom necessarily. But so that, you know, in part of the new CDC guidelines would say that 6 feet separation in a classroom can now be three. These shields that we've purchased will actually help prevent any cross exposure even more so than just being 3 feet away. So if you're sitting at a table of three or four, if it's a full classroom, then each one will have its own divider between them, you know, just like a bank teller type thing.
Yeah. Okay, that's good. And, you know, I was really impressed with the comment as well that, you know, by the next phase, at least 75% of our staff will be fully vaccinated as well.
Yeah, that's right.
I think that's really good. Congratulations.
Yeah, they've really done a nice job and chomping at the bit. You may have noticed if your students are in the classroom or if you've heard outside that, you know, over these last couple of weeks, there have been a lot of absences from staff, and it's because of the effects of the second shot, you know.
Yeah.
Because they were all doing their best to try to do it on a Friday or a Saturday so that if they did get, affected in any way, they could take Sunday off. But that, to me, I'd rather have them be absent and get their shot now instead of trying to wait and schedule it to a point. So as it stands, let me just share with you real quick, if you don't mind. Let me just tell you where we're at today. So the updated numbers as of this morning, 73, just short of 73% have both doses of their shot. And then just short of 11% are waiting on their second shot. So we're thinking by April 12th, that's why that date is April 12th. One of the reasons is that they'll at least be totally inoculated with the 2 weeks or 7 to 14 days after their second shot. And maybe even more so is that last 11% that have their first shot will have their second shot in their arm as well. So, and then there's still about 15 or 16% or they're saying either they can't take it or they chose not to take it or they're not divulging whether they have or not. You know, they're keeping their privacy. So that, you know, I think our 75% threshold will be more like 83%.
Wow. Good. Thank you.
Jeff, is it my understanding that now that the kids are potentially in some of the rooms at least only going to be 3 feet apart, that we may have a situation where we're having to quarantine more students without necessarily having more cases per se in the school? It's just that they're not necessarily 6 feet. So is that a possibility?
Yeah, well, maybe not so much. There'll be more, there may be more close contact phone calls.
Yes.
From the county, right? Not necessarily quarantining per se. We'll have to see how that goes, but yes, that is a possibility. But you will be, you know, if you're there within 6 feet or now 3 feet or whatever,
yeah.
for more than 15 minutes on a steady basis, then you would be considered a close contact. So, there may be that there, regardless of anything coming back, that would be the case, but even more so now that there will be more kids in the classroom. Sure.
And I guess my reason for bringing it up is I could see without really stopping to think through it that might be alarming, like, oh my goodness, why are we having more kids close contacts and things that it doesn't really mean the situation's any worse than it has been. It's just our kids might be sitting closer together, so we have to take extra precautions.
That's right. The two or three or maybe three or four now announcements mm-hmm. that we did put out notifying parents that there was a case. I'm happy to say that it appears that none of them were originated here. Not that that makes it any better or worse, but it, you know, we weren't necessarily, the school wasn't the cause of coming to school, wasn't the cause of it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them, two out of at least the three that I know of, were precautionary and then got all clears. So that's good. But we also know that we have a couple staff that actually have it or have worked through it so far. So we're, you know, well, I think we'll see, right? But I think we have to. We have to dive in and see how this works because I believe we're going to be here for a little while.
And I guess my only other question, Jeff, when we met last week, you had mentioned that you were going to be doing a teacher listening session, or when we met last month, sorry.
We did, I'm just
curious how that went, if there's any comments or things from that to share.
No, it went really well. We did it, I want to say we did it last Wednesday, or the Wednesday before spring break, I should say. All things considered, went very well. Handful of questions, a lot of questions around scheduling, and that's what we were hoping. You know, what's the schedule going to look like, where the specials fit in, all these things. And they're actually working on a lot of that again tomorrow to finalize them. And they'll be able to do even more, because at least now we know we have all but 100 students roughly. So we know who's coming back and not. And not. So they'll be able to finalize all those schedules tomorrow, work it out with their third, fourth grade team, fifth, sixth grade team. But yeah, all things considered, positive. Yay, a lot of yays, a lot of hmms, you know, a lot of people still a little bit weary of this, not for themselves so much, but for the kids, but all willing to jump in and give it a shot. Any other questions I can help with on that? Otherwise, I think you're pretty much up to date.
All right, I think we're good then. Moving us on to the second item on the agenda is a second reading of the bylaws. So those are in the board packet. There's no changes from when we looked at them last month. I think Jeff still has in red where the changes are made from before.
Yeah.
Does anybody have questions or comments they'd like us to discuss about the bylaws? Everybody good? Okay, I'm gonna keep moving us on then. The policy 200.21, second reading as well. Again, this is, we looked at this last week, talking about the board meeting attendance with absenteeing and voting, particularly referring to our ability to have these remote meetings as we are now. This is just the rules we had, just kind of making, or the rules that the state made, just making it official in our Prairie Crossing policies. Everybody good?
Good.
Okay.
So I'll finalize those with, you know, I'll clean those up and make them final, and those will be posted on the website, you know, before the beginning of next week.
Okay. Perfect. Next up is the proposed fiscal year 22 school calendar. We have a copy of that in the packet. Jeff, one thing on there, I saw nitpicky, but on October 20th, it just says release teacher in service. I think you wanted to say early release.
You're right.
In the middle there.
Yeah, I have that marked already too. Yeah, I got it. Yeah, and so what we're looking at, guys, is we're looking at August 16th, which is pretty much of a standard start date, early release on the first day. June. A June 3rd end date gives us 185 days. You'll remember that we had worked out a couple years ago with our chartering authority at the time that instead of adding snow days, we were able to subtract them as long as we don't go below a threshold of 180 days. So we're in good shape that way. So we could say with straight confidence that June 3rd will be our last day. And then it follows in line with the ROE recommendations, although not every other school in the district's areas have their calendars finalized yet. ROE does put out guidelines that say, hey, consider your spring break here. Hey, consider your winter breaks, to try to align them as much as possible. So we are aligned with our, at least we know of a few districts, and we don't know about a few other ones. But we don't think that'll be a challenge. It hasn't really posed too big of a challenge in the past. We have lowered our early release days a little bit from the last couple previous years in number. And you know, we're pretty confident this is a pretty fluid schedule.
Jeff, can I ask, and obviously if the 185 days is part of our charter, then this might be a moot question anyway, but there was talk early on in COVID how the existence of virtual education is going to change the existence of snow days. Right. And I'm just obviously a lot has changed and evolved and we've learned a ton. And I am, for one, a fan of snow days, but wanted to just ask, where is your current thinking around that? Do we expect to have snow days in the event of inclement weather?
Yeah, you know, that's a really good question, Joanne. I think the thing that many forget, and when I say many, I mean our chartering authority and our Illinois State Board. No disrespect to them, but there is a more of a reality check to say, look, there's one thing if the school is called on account of inclement weather, it's one thing for the children not to be able to get to school. But if you're a teacher and you're here on a Wednesday and the snow drops unexpectedly or more intense than it was forecasted to, then, and you're all your teaching materials here, we also don't want necessarily the teachers putting themselves overly at risk.
Sure.
So while there may be built-in opportunities to do activities, and I'm not going to use the word asynchronous because I don't really like that term. I think that's overused in COVID. But there may be opportunities for home learning, but we're not going to count them. If we use them, great. If we don't, even better. You know, sure. Because I agree with you, and I think the philosophy of the school has always been is 185 days is 9 days more than most schools go. We go longer by a half hour than most schools go. And at some point, sometimes you get that unexpected holiday or break. It's not a bad thing, you know.
Right.
So.
Hey, Jeff, has when looking over the calendar, has there been any talk about the 6th, 7th, and 8th grade trips and planning for those again?
It's built into the calendar. I mean, okay. This is just the overarching calendar of days on, days off, conferences, right. Early releases. So there's actually an internal school calendar that gets much more detailed. When testing windows are, all those types of things.
Yeah.
That is not 100% ready to go yet. That's not going to be ready to go, frankly, until almost August.
Okay. Because I know that you said that, like, all the planning that has to go in to such trips, like to DC and even the 7th grade trip, you have to do far enough in advance,
right,
to lock in the rooms, the rates, and things like that. But I'm assuming the plan is to go ahead and do it as normal or like in the past, with the contingency, depending on what happens with COVID, shots, herd immunity, and all of that.
Well, let me take it one step further. So there is the pre-planning aspect of it, but there's also the been there, done that aspect of it. And what I mean by that is look, we've all gone, many of our kids and have or will do some sort of culminating trip.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in 8th grade, you'll do some sort of service learning trip if you're in 5th, 6th, and 7th, whether it be camping or what it is. So what we did last year, when literally the rug was pulled out from underneath us, is say, wait a minute, let's take a better look at this. Let's see how it aligns with A, the curriculum, B, our mission and opportunities, right? Our growth, our sustainability, our cares, all that stuff. And let's take a better look at what the right future is, not because, you know, what are the most, I'll ask Rebecca, because now that she has two jobs, what are the most 7 dangerous words in any business? Because we've always done it that way.
Yeah.
Right? And so you know, that the Virginia trip is a great example of that. It's a great trip, and it's a lot of driving.
Yeah.
And we're hitting some monuments, and we're hitting some history, and we're hitting some environmental, and we're hitting DC, which is great. Where's the other ones? Is that the only place in our country we can go? And so that's what we want to look at. Is 7 or 8 days of a trip the best thing to do for 8th graders? Maybe, maybe not. So let's evaluate whether there's 2, 3, or 2 4-day trips spread out through the year that align with the lessons a little bit better, or align with the curriculum a little bit better. And so those are the things we're evaluating with the teaching teams. evaluating internally. We can still do team building and all the stuff that we used to do in Eagle Bluff and Manitowish. But isn't there a place that could be a little bit closer where instead of a 5-hour bus ride, it's a 2-hour bus ride? Sure there are.
Yeah. You know.
So those are the things we're pulling apart and putting back together to see what works best.
Oh, that's great. Okay.
Yeah, just one thing I want to add in there, Jeff, I guess, you know, you're having these discussions with the staff and the planning. One thing that really has to be kept in mind is you've got a group of seventh graders this year that have missed out on their fifth grade trip, all their sixth grade trips, all their seventh grade trips now. And if they miss out on their eighth grade trip, you're going to lose all of those students. And that's not just me talking as a father of a seventh grader, but I know a lot of those seventh grade kids that have expressed similar concerns and they're not happy. So that eighth grade trip gets taken away or gets altered in some substantial way, you're going to have a very upset group of eighth graders all of next year. So I just
understood. I think there's a couple things, Jim. I think there's the experience of a trip, not necessarily always related to the destination of the trip. And I think if we can replicate, you know, if we can continue to consider replicating the experience, that could have, I mean, that could have just as much of an effect on the, you know, the enjoyment of the trip as well.
Right.
But no, I understand, you know, hey, we didn't want to not go places either, right? We know that there are certain places that we would go to that aren't available to us anymore because either they're so far booked in advance, years ahead now, or we're not big enough for them to, we're low hanging fruit. You know, our 48 kids, our 48 seventh graders that are going to go to Manitowish. Yeah, we're going to get pushed to the bottom of the barrel because there's 500 kids coming from another district. You know, that's 5 weeks of income on their end versus 1 week of income on our end, you know. So.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. Any other questions or comments on the calendar?
So just so you guys are aware, hopefully when you approve this later this evening, this gets sent to the Regional Office of Ed in Lake County. Then they approve it, and then it goes to ISB, and then they approve it. So even though we vote on it tonight, only portions of it will be released until it's finally approved. We don't want to make promises we can't keep. So we'll share the beginning date. We'll share some of the monumental breaks, winter break perhaps, spring break perhaps, and then the final end date. But we won't be publishing this calendar until we get an all clear approval from ISB, which may take a month or more.
Glad you made that comment, Jeff, because one thing I think we see every year is that parents starting right about now start asking where the calendar's at for the following year. So if we're able to share something in the near future, that's always helpful.
Yeah, it approve it tonight and there'll be a blurb out in Constant Contact on Friday.
Awesome.
It'll talk about just that. Here's the process, but here are the monumental dates that you can count on.
Awesome. Thanks, Jeff.
All right, anything else there?
No, just a small note, Jeff. The calendar shows 2020 and 2021. So
yeah, not anymore. It does in your version, but yeah, no, thank you.
Okay.
All right, everybody good? Okay, so next up is the biannual review of closed session minutes and recordings. We have to at least twice a year discuss as a board if there's anything that we currently have in closed session minutes or in closed session recordings that we feel like no longer belongs in closed session. I feel like as a board, we're pretty good about making sure we're only in closed session for things that fall under closed session all the time. So I don't personally see any revisions, but we need to discuss as a group if any one of our closed session minutes or recordings that we've had feels like there was something that should be made public with redaction, let me know. Otherwise, we will vote at the end to keep everything archived as it is. That also includes our recordings that are over 18 months old, I can delete. Not the minutes, we keep those in perpetuity. Any questions, comments, everybody good with that? Okay. Especially, did that make sense to our new board members, why we're doing this? Yeah, we're good, okay. All right, next up is the board training. Jeff put in the packet the latest update that I've seen, at least anywhere via email, of what INCS is gonna offer to us as board training. So just as a reminder, everybody here did the 4 hours for the first year requirement. So currently we only need to do 2 hours of training. I should say only, we get to do 2 more hours of training this year. I haven't seen it said explicitly anywhere that it has to be different sessions than the ones we did last year, but I'm assuming they're expecting us to do different ones than what we did.
I don't think that's a requirement. It's just a refresher, yeah.
Okay, so it looks like the option that we chose last year was to do the online modules. INCS is going to offer that again. I wanna say it's a fee of $50 a board member that they're gonna have 2 sessions. One will be April 8th, one will be June 8th that are live, and then they'll archive them so that you can do them at your own timing, which I think is what most of us had done this year. Or there is also the option of 2 free trainings. One's on May 11th and one's on September 16th. They do everything at 4 p.m. Those though, to do the free ones, you have to attend it live. Like they're not gonna be recorded to do later. So I think we just as a board need to have a discussion about what people wanna do, or if they don't like INCS, if they want us to explore another option, we can try and do that. But just what we wanna do so we have a plan to, if we're gonna do the INCS stuff, to get us enrolled with that. So preferences, comments from people?
Do we have to make a decision about one planner or the other as a collective group? So like the 2 options that you presented, does every board member have to follow that? Or if there's someone who's available to take the free ones, they could take it, but others that might have tighter schedules or less flexibility, do the archived ones?
I think if we're gonna pick from those 2 options, which in my mind makes the most sense, I don't think we have to pick all the same. Like we got a better deal last time we paid as a board because that was less money for us to pay as a board for the fee versus the free ones. But I haven't seen anywhere that there's any discount or penalty. You know, I think it's $50 a person regardless of however many do it.
Okay.
That's right. That's right. Okay. I think the only group decision really, I mean, you're right, Marcelo, meet your all of your individual schedules for sure. Good luck coordinating them so they're all the same. But you know, I think the global decision is what Nell touched on at the end there is, do you want to continue with INCS or do you want to explore another entity? There's only a handful that are still ISBE approved. I'm sure there'll be more in the future, but there's only a handful of ISBE authorized anyway.
I mean, personally, I thought like who presented the training sessions that I attended, and I attended all the archive ones. She was excellent. I mean, the only thing that I wasn't able to really participate in is when she had like open dialogue with the people who were joining live. But other than that, I thought she was a fantastic moderator. I thought the content was very good. So, you know, I'm always curious about what other options are out there, but at the same time, I'm feeling, well, I had a good experience and hopefully everybody else did. You know, not waste your time in regards to looking for something else when last year it worked out really well.
I would agree. I thought it was fine. The price is right and it's easy. That's
my
Yeah. I agree that it was good training, but looking through this, it looks a little redundant. Like we'd be doing the same thing we've already done. And I don't know. I mean, I would rather do something that's more beneficial where I'm going to get something out of it than just satisfy a requirement.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think the 2, I'm trying to look through and find it. I thought they said that they would have 2 new options because yes, 4 of the options are going to be the same, the things that we already did last year. Hold on, I'm looking. I think the financial accountability, show me the money. And then the new board member onboarding. I think those are what they're considering to be new topics.
Was the right. advocacy one offered last year? I know I didn't do it, and I was very interested in that one. In April, the threats are real.
How we can advocate. So I don't think that one counts for right. our thing. It says that's a
non- Oh, right. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Yeah, I'm that sorry. One and then the virtual roundtable with parent board members, those two can't count for our training hours, unfortunately. Mm-hmm.
And they're the most interesting ones.
you know, we do have room, budget-wise anyway, we do have room, Rebecca, to your point, I mean, this is a one-size-fits-all for those new board members that haven't had any of the training, so it's just a menu. If you want to do some of those other trainings as well, I think absolutely, you know, whether they're free or not, it doesn't matter to us. As an entity, we can afford, you know, we'll find the $50 or whatever it is. So don't let that sway you and not meeting the requirements if you really want to get into it.
Right. No, I understand that. I just like the four modules I've already taken. And then, you know, it would have been nice if they had offered the new board member onboarding back then. Right. And it looks like all of these are only counting towards one hour and we need two. It just doesn't seem like there's a whole lot to get out of this that we haven't already done. So I would be interested to see what else is out there. I don't know that we would necessarily choose to go with a different vendor, but it might be nice to see what else is being offered.
Okay. No, I'm open to that, Rebecca. I'm trying to remember members of the board. Do you remember, I think there was one other group I thought that it was that we talked about last spring. Does anybody remember?
It's probably Marcy Connell Feist's group. What is that, board on track, maybe something like that?
Yes, I think that's right.
She's fantastic, and I know that she was originally approved. I think the thing to look at is what is the base. So call it what it is, guys. This is checking a box for legislators mm-hmm. in Springfield. Mm-hmm. Period. How to have board training, make sure it happens. I mean, I take the same, and Betsy, I see that you're on the call, hello. But Betsy will take the same training. We had 10 or 12 hours of training every year on the same things. You know, and then it's not a bad thing. It's just the due diligence thing. But I think once you've learned bullying procedures, you know what they are the 10th time in, you know. So we could definitely look at that, but I do know for a fact that when Inks decided what modules they were going to do, they did it on the requirements that the state required them to do it under. And so I think board on track, or I don't care what vendors is approved, they got approved because they're doing the baseline minimums of what they need to be doing. So I think I'm not advocating for Inks. I think we can look anywhere we want, but I do think that you're going to get the same menu and then you add a la carte on what else you want to do as a board yourselves.
So one option we could try to do, I'm just looking, you know, it looks like there's only one of the Inks trainings is going to happen before our next board meeting. I can try and see if I can find what Board on Track is going to offer. And if there's anybody that really wanted to do that April 8th meeting live to have it, let me know or let Jeff know, and we can make sure as an individual, we get you signed up with Inks to do that if you want to do it live versus recorded. And then I can try and bring back next month with what Board on Track has to offer. Because most of us are probably going to do them on our own time anyway, just from a scheduling perspective. Does that work for people? Anybody prefer something different for now?
Works for me.
Yeah, that works.
That works. Okay. One thing I'll throw out there for our new board members too, COVID kind of curtailed this, but we did also, when this topic first came up, we had also thrown out the idea that potentially at some point, could we try to host a training and invite other charter school board members to come and do it as well as part of an outreach type thing. So all that's been tabled with COVID, but maybe for the following 2022 year, we can think about that again too. All right. Any other comments on that? I'm going to move us on. Good. Okay. Next up, committee updates. So academic met, Abe, do you want to give us an update? Did we lose Abe?
I don't see him now.
He was here. He was here just a minute ago. All right, so we did lose Abe. Hopefully he comes back. Yeah, we'll start with the others and see if he comes back. All right, Stacy, finance, did finance meet?
No.
So no update to you from you, I would assume?
Nope.
Okay, Jim, do you have an election update?
Yep. I mean, we haven't had any meetings since the last formal board meeting, but we did just an update for the group. We sent out a letter or a notification to the population on the, I think it was March 15th, just opening the application period for the parent-elect board position. Those applications are due by 3:30 p.m. on Friday, April 9th. And then, you know, we'll meet and review those and certify the applications. And then the election itself will open up on Monday, April 19th and conclude on Monday, May 3rd.
This is how many applicants we have so far.
I know you'll have one for sure, so.
Good. We're going to put another blast out tomorrow, as a matter of fact, asking for three things. So,
perfect. Thanks, Jeff. I was actually going to send an email to you and Janet to ask for a reminder note to go out. So,
yep.
Great. All right, Abe. All right, anything else, Jim? Sorry.
Nope. That's all for now.
All right, Abe, I'm going back to you. I tried to find you a minute ago and we lost you.
Yeah, sorry. I got you. I actually said it. Dead. I heard her voice. She's on a call in the other room too. So we both got killed. But yeah, we're both.
So do you want to give an update on academic committee from last month?
I do. So we covered the testing and assessment in a pandemic and how to do it fairly. And I think, Jeff, you have an update, correct?
Yeah, so one of the things we talked about in the meeting was ISBE gave us a choice, some of the flexibility, even though the national level said, no, you cannot waive assessment testing this year. Again, about 70-some percent, 80% of all the districts in the state asked ISBE for waiving the assessments for this year, and they went to the feds and fought for us and lost. But what the feds came out and said was, go ahead and build flexibility in there. And so one of the flexibility was a survey of whether we want to take the assessments in the spring or in the fall. And we started analyzing that internally. And at the committee meeting, we talked a little bit about the pros and cons around both fall and spring. And one of the challenges we kept running into is eighth graders. You know, how do we assess our eighth graders that aren't going to be here anymore next fall? And so the update is that we opted to do spring testing for IAR and ISA testing. And that window is in the minutes, April something to May something. And we will be doing those assessments in the spring. So that's our update. One of the challenges that we're still working on and still waiting on some clarification from ISBE is we're gonna have students remote, but for IAR specifically at ISA, you cannot take that test remotely. It has to be in person because of the way it's proctored and some dynamics around the test. It can't be done at home. So that's going to affect scheduling. That's going to affect how to do it, where to do it, all that stuff for those that are choosing to stay remote. So we have a lot of districts have a handful of questions in ISBE, and we keep getting told it's being run up the chain and eventually it'll come back down. So, we'll still work part of that out, but our window is the end of April through or middle of April through end of May, I believe, is our window for testing.
Yeah, Jeff, we have here 3:15 through 5:28.
Yeah, the window 3:15, but we don't have those answers yet, right? Mm-hmm. So.
And then the rest of the meeting, we just cover the transition to 4C. And everybody has the minutes in their email as well.
All right, any questions for Abe? pretty good.
Abe, right. You'll get a kick out of this as a high school teacher. Dimitri, you'll get a kick out of this as a high school teacher. The ISBE's original answer was just have the high schools do the eighth grade assessments.
Really?
Yeah. What do you think the high school said?
I'm sure they said no. Yeah, I'm actually surprised we're giving the SAT test in like 2 weeks.
Right.
Yeah. So it's going to be tough for those kids, but it's also going to be, 1,000 juniors coming in to take the test at Warren Township.
Yep.
At least we have space for that. We can spread them out, you know, for you, I don't know how you're going to do that down the road. That'll be a challenge, I would imagine.
Yeah. We're going to have to look at Saturdays and Sundays and after hours, before hours, all that stuff to get the comfort level. It's not so much space as it is the comfort level of those that want to stay remote.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for being willing to get creative with that timing though, for those families to try and help make sure they feel comfortable.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, are we good on academics, Abe? Okay. Jeff, anything from outreach? I don't think you guys.
I think we're, if I'm not mistaken, we piggybacked that on, is that April? I think so. Don't we piggyback that after finance, Stacy?
That is my recollection, yes.
Yeah.
Sure,
April is finance and outreach. Mm-hmm.
What we're primarily going to be doing is looking into next year. We're going to assume that the trends continue to lighten up on the number of people that have, and hopefully that'll create some opportunity to have some sort of events. Although we had a really nice lottery draw, we realized that being shut in for a year, it doesn't help us as much as we noticed the pinch on that, right? We know not so much from the applicants that came in, but just from the general outreach opportunities and awareness of the school. So we're going to refocus on that quite a bit.
Then executive committee did not meet this month. We are still working on some legislative options. So a couple of us have been talking about things. We might have a better update for next month. We'll see how things go. Not necessarily executive committee, but I'm going to mention it in here. As part of this, one thing I'm going to be talking about with the executive members, and certainly if you have opinions, please let me know between now and the next couple of weeks. One kind of question mark is we're sending our students back to school and our teachers back to school. Is it time for us to meet in person to do a board meetings again? And so something to be talking about. There's a lot of options that we can look at with that. But again, I'm going to be having some discussions about that with the executive committee over the next couple of weeks. And certainly I'm open to talking with anybody about that to see how people are feeling about that. But we do have the ability to use the barn now, that upstairs space in the barn where we could do some space ourselves out really well. And then we do have some options too of, do we still Zoom for public? Do we allow a small number of public there in Zoom? There's a lot of different options we could play around with. But the barn is a bigger space than that library where we have typically met before. If anybody's got questions or comments now, I'm happy to chat now, or otherwise, again, something we'll be talking about over the next few weeks.
Yeah, I think just the only question that comes to mind now, and perhaps something we can explore between now and the executive group meets, is if we start meeting in person and we do get public that wants to attend, can we restrict them? Because in the past, we've had issues where we actually had to change meetings because the expected attendance was larger than what we were able to accommodate in the existing space.
So my understanding, and Jeff, jump in if I'm wrong, is that we have to be willing to allow public attendance, but there is nothing that says we have to have unlimited capacity for public. And they don't necessarily have to be able to monitor and participate in the meeting. They don't have to be able to monitor and participate live. So certainly my preference would be that we are always able to accommodate everyone who wants to participate in it, which is why sometimes we've moved venues when we expected more people. I think we've done that as a courtesy, and because as a board, that's what we want to do. I don't think we legally have to do that. but Jeff, am I wrong?
No, as a matter of fact, anecdotal example was one of the ISBE meetings I showed up into when we were doing rechartering a handful of years ago had such, not necessarily just for us, but had such a demand that the Illinois State Board, same OMA guidelines, same model for all schools, ended up doing go into the gym and watch it on a screen. And if you want to share public comments, sign this piece of paper and we'll call you. So you're right. There's no limit. Everybody's limited, right? We have 4,000 people at the door. Warren's not going to be able to handle that. But at the same time, it's the courtesy move, like Nell said. Yeah.
Yeah, but certainly, Jim, something to think about, because it is important to me that nobody feels like, well, I couldn't attend because there wasn't space for me, or I couldn't participate because there wasn't space for me.
Right. Well, and I think especially just my two cents now, while COVID is still a thing, right? It's not gone. That having a Zoom option for the public, and I would love to see that in perpetuity, simply from a convenience standpoint. You know, someone might be at work, but they can take a half hour break to listen to part of a board meeting. It actually makes it more accessible to allow for Zoom to be, and we're set up for it now, right? So I would advocate for having Zoom as an option for the public. I of course, personally, love the convenience of doing our board meeting Zoom, but I also very much understand the public perception of needing to be out there physically when the time is right. So that's just my two cents.
Thanks, Joanne.
But also now, since we will be meeting in the barn, I mean, we probably also have to look at the state guidelines as far as the capacity, because I'm sure the state of Illinois has, you know, guidelines still in place for having indoor meetings.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We would need to abide by whatever guidelines were there.
I don't have a dog in the race, so to speak, but I do want to share that that board meetings are not town halls, and that board meetings are business meetings set up that the public can have their input. And there's many ways to have input, whether it be Zoom, whether it be in person, whether it be written or taped testimonial. But it is a board meeting. It's not a public town hall. And so, you know, I mean, I'm not disagreeing, because we can Zoom, we can do all that stuff, but let keep focus on what a board meeting is supposed to be doing, and that's the business of the school, with public input when applicable. So another option could be we may not have the room for all of you, but if we don't and you're here and you're banging on the door, let's hold a town hall that could be a Zoom town hall or whatever as well, and might meet both objectives.
Could we have what Ankur was saying, that if you know the exact amount of people, what the maximum would be according to the CDC guidelines and all that, after counting all the board members and Jeff, everybody that has to be there, could we then have like a sign-up sheet of some sort in which we have an X amount of spots available for public to be physically there? Is that something to consider perhaps? And if they physically wanted to be there in lieu of the Zoom option or whatever.
Yeah, you just have to be very careful of OMA, right?
Right.
And if it's an open meeting, it's an open meeting. And so taking registrants or registering for an open meeting might be a red flag. We'd have to probably run that through law a little bit, get an opinion. Mm-hmm.
It might just be a good idea to, when we reach that point, to tell the parents, you know, the capacity in the space due to all restrictions is this. So if you really want to be there, come early, you know, because we can only let so many people in.
Right.
I mean, I don't know what that number is. So I feel like the likelihood feels low to me, but again, who knows?
Yeah.
And those are changing on a regular basis. It used to be 50, and now they're starting to relax that a little bit, especially with those that are vaccinated, right? So the 50 that, if let's assume we're all vaccinated, we don't count in that 50, right? And so they keep changing. Those guidelines are shifting as well as more and more people get vaccinated and more things are starting to open up. Weddings are starting to book now that are more than 50 people that head counts don't matter. You don't count if you're vaccinated in a head count of 50, if you're fully vaccinated and can prove it.
Now, I'd just also like to add that from a timing standpoint for us to be in person, it should be after the general public has had ample opportunity to get vaccinated, so that everyone on the board who wants to be vaccinated has that chance to be fully vaccinated before we ask the board to meet in person. I mean, that's an accommodation we tried to do for teachers, right? And I think it's the same thing. Yeah. We should do it for ourselves.
I agree.
I agree as well.
Okay. Fair statement.
Yeah, no, thanks. This is, again, I was looking for people's opinions. I'm making notes, guys. Sorry. Any other thoughts or comments on that?
I think also those that are comfortable sharing their vaccination status, doing so we can assess what the room looks like.
I get my second one tomorrow.
I get round one tomorrow.
Nice.
I get my second one Thursday.
Like, how are you guys like getting it? I keep calling around and can't get booked anywhere.
I'm not even eligible yet.
I got in with Walgreens over the weekend, Cello, and then I got a notice from Northwestern today that I'm eligible to book through them. So I would call Northwestern first. Wow. Thing.
Okay. Oh well, I've been calling.
The county just put out a press release just a few hours ago that said, as of today, what 1B plus is now what they're calling 1B plus, which is awful close to everybody over 16 is eligible. I want to say by April 12th.
My husband is a chemist, and he got in because of the 1B plus. He counts as manufacturing. So if you're anything that at all counts as manufacturing or industrial or production, anything like that, then you can get in now.
Now, can I make the offer or just table it for now?
I think you can make it if you're willing. Yeah.
You all have a @pccharterschool.org email address. So technically, from a liability standpoint, you're all employees of the school. Just saying.
So if it is a situation, you know, I'm not saying we're going back to in-person meetings immediately or not, like it's something, again, that I'm going to have the executive committee talk about, but if it's something that for the business of the school, you're being asked to be someplace in person.
Right. And the school is more than happy to write a letter saying that you're part of the organization. You know, if you don't have an ID or a paycheck stub or something else that might qualify, if you need it, even if you need it at that point, school is more than happy to share that you are part of the board of governance at a public school doing school business. So keep that in mind if you keep running into hurdles.
Yeah, I'm going to go the Stacy route. I'm on the Walgreens menu right now, but I'll let you know, Jeff. Thank you.
But certainly a fair point. And I will touch base with people as we kind of get closer and see where things stand to that April timeframe. But it seems like we have several members that are comfortable sharing they'd like to be vaccinated and are not yet. So
fully vaccinated as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm fully vaccinated for work. So, all right. Any committees that I forgot about? I think we got them all. Any more updates there? Okay, moving us on to the consent agenda. Jeff shared a director's report in there with us. Thank you. You're hinting at that strategic plan. I know, Jeff, I think we spoke a little bit offline that with COVID and everything, we had talked about that coming out around the new year, and that's been kind of pushed back. I'm not sure if we've shared that with the board fully.
Yeah,
I'm just realizing that right now.
Yeah, I think the earliest you're going to say, we have to get, I think it's ready. I would like staff to have some more input on it. So I'm going to push that back until at the earliest May. Mm-hmm. Get our feet underneath us a little bit more on what we're doing in April.
Yeah. All right. And then it doesn't look like we have a business manager report this month, but there is, the budget is in there.
No, that's right. It's just pretty much an update on the budget.
Joanne, sorry, you had a question or comment?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask about the director's report. It just felt like a teaser, and I, like, I'm totally left hanging, and it's killing me. Can you share anything?
I think what you're going to see is a more pronounced effort on equity. I think what you're going to see is a more of a defined natural leader definition. I think what you're going to see is the unveiling and the branding of CARES, collaboration, awareness, respectfulness, empowerment, sustainability. And I think you're going to see that as becoming the forefront of all of our initiatives, both at school and outside of school. And I think you're going to see that, I think you're going to see the strategic plan based on a faction that when you say creating natural leaders, you're going to know exactly what that means, with hard and fast goals of growth, equity, caring, and sustainability. And I think when we wrap that all together, 21 years into this game of being a charter school, you're going to see things that no other school on the planet is doing. And to me, that's the North Star. That's the 30 years down the road. I know we can do it. I know we have the staff to do it. I know we have the leadership to do it. I know we have the board that can help push that through. And I know our kids can do it. And I want to make that challenge hard and fast and strong. Academics, always number one. Sustainable practices and equitable practices, number two. And they're not mutually exclusive at all, at all. A little bit of mind shift, a little bit of focus shift, all still within the same bubble, but only pronounced and a little more robust.
I love it, thank you.
Sorry, I should have asked if there were questions or comments about the director's report before moving us on. All right, any questions on the budget? I'm assuming there wasn't anything imperative from Kim, which is why we don't have a business manager report.
Well, there wasn't much, especially with the break in there. There wasn't really much to do. The only thing that was the fourth quarter numbers for ISBE were submitted on the 15th, right before break. And we're, other than that, that's really the only business activity that really happened besides the day-to-day stuff.
Okay. All right, people good on the budget. Stacey, anything popping out at you from the finance committee?
No, nothing at all.
Perspective? Okay. So no further questions, then we need a motion, or actually, are there any comments? There are open session minutes down here. Sorry, I'm scrolling down. I didn't write the date. From February 23rd. Any comments or corrections noted for those?
And no, we're going to add the academics one if people have had the chance to
read. Yeah, did everybody see, thank you. Did everybody see the email that came today for the academic committee meetings and that date? I'm getting us a date, it was March 16th.
Correct.
Thank you very much to Gabby for doing those. All right, then I need a motion to approve the open session minutes from the general board meeting on February 23rd, 2021 and from the academic committee meeting on March 16th, 2021.
I'm moved.
Second.
Okay. Was that first, Dimitri?
Abe,
thank you. Abe was the first. Stacy with the second. Nell's a yes. Stacy?
Yes.
Jim? You're on mute, Jim.
Yes, sorry.
That's okay. Cello.
Yes.
Unker.
Yes.
Rebecca.
Yes.
Leanne.
Yes.
Dimitri.
Yes.
Joanne.
Yes.
Abe.
Yes.
All right, and then we need a motion to approve the reports on the consent agenda.
So moved. So moved.
Joanne with the first, the second.
Give it to Stacy.
All right, second with Stacy. Nell's a yes. Stacy.
Yes.
Jim.
Yes.
Cello.
Yes.
Unker.
Yes.
Rebecca.
Yes.
Leanne.
Yes.
Dimitri.
Yes.
Joanne.
Yes.
Abe.
Yes.
All right, that they had been accepted. Do we have any public comment? Which Betsy is pretty much just you. Any comment? Are you good? Okay. All right. So next up is closed session. So we have that we'll be entering into closed session for discussion related to 5 ILCS 120-2C11. Litigation when an action against, affecting, or on behalf of the public body has been filed and is pending before a court or administrative tribunal, or when the public body finds that an action is probable or imminent, in which case the basis for the finding shall be recorded and entered into the minutes of the closed meeting, to discuss legal bills and pending litigation, and then discussion related to 5 ILCS 120-2C21, discussion of minutes of meetings lawfully closed under this act, whether for purposes of approval by the body of the minutes or a semi-annual review of the minutes mandated by section 2.06 to review closed session minutes from the February 23rd board meeting. Do we have a motion?
Before we make a motion, and Stacy, I defer to you on this, but I don't have any reason to go into closed session.
Ah, that's a good call.
There is no update on litigation, no.
Okay, so thank you, Jeff.
I can answer them generally in open session or if there's any questions around the legal bills, but other than that, there's no reason to go in the closed session.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, so, we're just in a holding pattern. There's nothing happening until the hearing in June.
Okay, so does anyone have questions on the legal bills?
They looked in order to me.
Yeah. Okay, and then how about with the closed session minutes? Does anybody have questions that we need to discuss about those or corrections? Everybody's good? Okay, thank you for interrupting me then, Jeff. Then we do not need to enter closed session. All right, so we are on to our action agenda. We need a motion. Is there a motion to adopt the revisions to the bylaws?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Nell's a yes. Stacy?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Cello?
Yes.
Anker?
Yes.
Rebecca?
Yes.
Leanne?
Yes.
Dimitri?
Yes.
Joanne?
Yes.
Abe?
Yes.
All right, the revisions to the bylaws have passed as we had over 2/3 of the board members vote for them. They require a supermajority. All right, next up, is there a motion to adopt revisions as discussed to policy 200.21?
So moved.
I'll second.
All right, Rebecca with the second. Nell's a yes. Stacy?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Cello?
Yes.
Anker?
Yes.
Rebecca?
Yes.
Leanne?
Yes.
Dimitri?
Yes.
Joanne?
Yes.
Abe?
Yes.
All right. Is there a motion? The revisions have passed. Is there a motion to approve the fiscal year 22 school calendar?
As amended.
As amended, yes.
No, can I make a quick comment? If I can't comment right now, I understand, but Earlier when Jeff was going over it, I was having some technical difficulties. I just want to point one thing out that I do know that at Warren Township High School, that the winter break is going until January 9th. Yeah. Like it's a crazy long extended winter break. And I'm just mentioning it right now. And I apologize, I could have mentioned it earlier, but I was having some technical difficulties looking at the calendar and hearing what Jeff says. I'm just bringing it up to your attention. Again, makes no difference to me at this point with my kids, but other families perhaps that have kids going to Prairie Crossing and moving into Warren Township, that might be something to think about.
Yeah, you're right, it is. The challenge is the juggle, right? So you got Woodland, you got Fremont, you've got Grays Lake, North and Central, you've got Warren, you've got Mundelein, and you've got parts of Stevenson, as well as Carmel, frankly, that all of those feeder schools that we feed into, and unfortunately, I no soapbox, but I still don't understand why the ROE doesn't say this is your break schedule.
Yeah, Jeff, I'll be honest with you. It's been a long time, maybe 8 to 10 years, that Warren Township has had that kind of an extended winter break. I usually we're back by January 4th, 5th, somewhere around that date. How it felt like that, I have no idea, to be honest with you. But yeah. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Nell. I just wanted to point that out. I'm sorry. Earlier, I wish I had some technical issues looking at the packet, because I'm on my phone now, all kidding aside, but I just couldn't see that, and I didn't want to make a comment until I actually physically saw it. So
well, let's do this. Let's, if you guys are amenable to this, let's go ahead and approve it. It doesn't have to be 100% final until we start school. You know, things may change, things may not. You know, I mean, let's see what happens. I know that it, very early on in COVID, they were saying start earlier and then take a break in the winter. That was back in June and July. Okay, let's see where we shake out with this. And we've amended calendars before. We can do it again if we need to.
Yeah, we just need to make sure that people understand that, because I know, like someone else said, people are already starting to ask.
Yeah.
And because they're planning things. So that's just something to think about too.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So I guess I'll throw it back to the group. Is there a motion to approve the fiscal year 22 school calendar as amended, in terms of that correction of some dates and some typos for the correct year?
So moved.
That was Joanne?
Yes.
Is there a second?
Abe.
Thank you. All right. Nell's a yes. Stacy?
Yes.
Jim? Are you on mute again, Jim? I see your mouth moving, Jim. You're still on mute.
No, yes. I'm not on mute.
Okay. Zello?
Yes.
Anker?
Yes.
Rebecca?
Yes.
Leanne?
Yes.
Dimitri?
Yes, but I'm wondering, is Jim watching basketball or something right now? What's going on?
I don't know what's going on.
Come on.
Joanne?
Yes.
Abe?
Yes.
All right. Next up, is there a motion to approve action for closed session archive minutes, meaning that the minutes and recordings would stay archived in closed session and those recordings over 18 months will be deleted?
So moved.
Second.
All right, Nell's a yes. Stacy?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Cello?
Yes.
Anker?
Yes.
Rebecca?
Yes.
Leanne?
Yes.
Dimitri?
Yes.
Joanne?
Yes.
Abe?
Yes.
All right. Is there a motion to approve the legal bills? Hold on. I've got to look for a number.
Or $6,352.50.
Thank you.
635,250.
So moved.
Second.
Great. Nell's a yes. Stacy?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Cello?
Yes.
Anker?
Yes.
Rebecca?
Yes.
Leanne?
Yes.
Dimitri?
Yes.
Joanne?
Yes.
Abe?
Yes.
And is there a motion to approve the closed session minutes from February 23rd, 2021?
I'll move.
I motion.
All right, Jim with a first, Leanne with a second, Nell's a yes, Stacy?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Cello?
Yes.
Anker?
Yes.
Rebecca?
Yes.
Leanne?
Yes.
Dimitri?
Yes.
Joanne?
Yes.
Abe?
Yes.
All right, is there any new business that anyone would like to discuss tonight?
Got my economic interest statement in the mail today, so it was a nice reminder. I'm going to do it before I sign off tonight.
Good answer.
Yeah, and remember, you can do it online too. I got my letter yesterday and immediately went online and took like maybe 5 minutes.
Yep, they sent a pin, so it's perfect.
Thank you for sharing, Abe. So yes, if anybody doesn't have that one done, I don't have the deadline in front of me. I shared it last month, but that is one where we get fined.
May 1.
Late. Yeah.
You personally get fined.
Personally, yes. Not the school. The bill shows up for you.
Hey, Jeff, I accidentally deleted your email. Would you be able to send that to me again, please?
Sure.
The instructions?
Yes. Thank you. No problem.
Let us know, Anker, if you have any issues with it.
Yes, thank you.
Any other new business? Good. All right, so then we need a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
So moved.
All right, first with Joanne, second to Cello. Nell's a yes. Stacy?
Yes, go blue.
Jim?
Yes, go blue.
Cello?
Yes, go sky blue.
Anker?
Yes.
Rebecca?
Yes.
Leanne?
Yes.
Dimitri?
Yes.
Joanne?
Yes.
Abe?
Yes.
All right, I have 7:45 p.m. We are adjourning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Have a good night.
Bye.
Good night.
Thank you.